to date on that aspect of the Joe Newman story. I can see a whole soap opera being written right here tonight. And it's a sad one, really, for all of us in this nation.
Yeah, not for all of us. Not for Joe Newman. It goes way beyond just the Joe Newman deal. It's the inhabitants of this nation that we're discussing.
Okay, let's go to our callers now. John has been standing by for quite some time. John, welcome aboard.
Hey, good evening, Bill and Joe. I think you need to get a hold of 60 Minutes or 2020 or one of those guys, and maybe they could bring your stories to the limelight. But the question I have for you is, being an amateur radio operator, I'm interested in what kind of effect will this device have in, radiations into the electromagnetic spectrum? Will it interfere with radio waves at all?
Oh, it would if you just set something right by it. Of course, you could put a Faraday cage around it, the device, and stop that type of transmission.
Okay, but it's basically fairly clean as far as that goes?
Yes. All of that could be controlled, even by the present known technology. So it won't be a problem.
Okay, then. Thank you, and good luck.
Thank you.
All right, John, thank you. Of course, radio operators always want to make sure that their channels are clear, don't they? I don't blame them.
No, I don't either. Not at all.
Steve.
Yes, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
You're on.
Yes, I wanted to know, my main question was, is it possible that the main utility companies could have an effect on the reason why he's not able to get a patent on this machine? It seems to me that the utility companies, and they have an interest in preserving their power. Does it have anything to do with that, or could it possibly?
I would think that the utility companies would be interested in it, that they could use the machine themselves and have very inexpensive electricity to sell to you.
I think that there's probably a two-way sword there. There are those thinking people, in the electrical energy, will have the attitudes you just said. Those people who are not thinking people will feel jeopardized and would wish to see it stifled.
That was exactly my point. I felt they might be jeopardized or feel that way.
I have talked to a number of people in the power industry and the representatives of the League of Public Utilities. And for the most part, I guess the ones we're talking to are thinking people, Joe. Two things are seen here. First of all, as these devices get in use in the American home, the first thing the power company will see will be a gradual reduction in the demand curve, which frees them of the enormous cost of capital formation to build new and expensive plants, which is a boon to the stockholders. Secondly, the device then itself can be used by the utility companies, and it will allow them to tear down the fossil burning plants, but still maintain their grids, because you're never going to get rid of, or at least not in the not too near future, the great power grids that we have all over the country that have served us so well.
So, Bill, you don't see that this is any threat to the major utility companies or anything like that?
Well, I don't. There may be, as Joe mentioned, some that are not thinking properly. But the problem is not with them. It's the ones that's supplying energy that produces the electricity that may have a little bit of a...
Right. I'm just trying to get at why he can't seem to get a patent on this, because it's obviously a very beneficial to mankind type of thing. I don't understand anything about electrodynamics or any of that, but I see it as a possible step forward, and I don't see why they would... give him a patent on it.
Well, the evidence, the question you bring there is a very pertinent question that I think every listener should ask yourself, why, instead of this trying to be stifled or belittled, why isn't it followed up aggressively by those people in high offices as one would expect it to be? If there was one chance in a million that I was correct, you would expect the people in high powers to be behind it with great vigor.
Well, obviously, you're coming out with it.
Oh, yes, it's going forward.
You're coming out in public with it, and there's nothing to hide about it. It's there for the government and the people and everyone to use in our benefit. It seems like there must be some kind of devious type of corrupt thing going on behind it, or reason why that you're not able to acquire this thing.
action. If I wasn't taking the action of publicizing it myself, it would all be kept under a bushel basket. But because that I'm publicizing and putting the book out, totally disclosing my 20 years of my life, then it has a life of its own, and it will go forward, and no power on this earth, no matter how big, cannot stop it, because there's over 1,800 copies of that book out, and there are very competent people who have received it.
Well, I believe that. It's just like everything else on Bill's show. It's kind of ahead of its time.
Okay.
In a way.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Bill. I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you, Steve, and I appreciate the comments.
All right.
And they were good ones. We're talking to Joe Newman tonight from Loosedale, Mississippi. We're talking about free energy. We're talking about problems that are being had now and getting free energy to you, problems from a very unlikely place, you would think, the government, where the government, you would think, would be, if there's, as Joe says, a possibility, if what he is saying is true, would be doing everything they can to make sure that it's brought forth. But that's not exactly what's happening, and we wanted to find out more about that. What is that, Lachlan?
Lachlan.
Lachlan. Hi, Lachlan.
How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing fine.
I want to compliment you on your show, and I want to encourage Joe Newman to do the best he can in the marketing and the spreading of the education of this invention. This is going to sound kind of funny, but there was a gentleman by the name of Hopkins out of, I believe it's Dallas, Texas, or some little town around Dallas, about 3 years ago. Several friends of mine and I were in the activity of finding investors for him because he had a similar black box, so to speak, and it had supercharged magnets and aluminum and some other stuff in there. It sounds so close to what Joe is talking about. I have to think that great minds are thinking up the same channel here. What happened with the guy was he even had Newsweek and a couple of TV stations out there, but he would never let anybody look inside because he was in fear that they were going to rip him off of his idea. And I don't know if he had patent problems also, but I want to commend Joe for fighting this patent process, because there are, I think, probably forces in corporate society, the energy companies, the utilities, maybe who knows how many lobbies there are in Washington that wouldn't like to see a little black box in everybody's home across the nation, ending the need for utility bills and oil companies and coal mining and everything else that people do. I have a couple of questions, but I just wanted to say that sort of thing first, encourage him and tell him I'm all for him and back of him, and also tell anybody around Los Angeles or around the greater Southern California area that's listening to back this man up in whatever way they can, because this is an invention of destiny, and it is about time for it to come out. I wanted to get, in terms of my questions, I wanted to ask a little bit about Dan Rather, what his reaction was, and also, does this have anything to do with the Einstein's unified energy field theory?
Relative to Dan Rather, it was really Bruce Hall who came down and did it.
I wonder if you could speak up just a little bit there. We're beginning to fade a bit, Joe.
Okay. Can you hear me?
That's a little better.
Okay. The Dan Rather show, it was Bruce Hall was the correspondent who came down and covered this. He was very aggressive and open-minded, and I know he told another gentleman who had first told me the story at another TV station. His biggest problem was trying to put it in the words so that people would believe it, because he found it so dumbfounding, but he found the facts just overwhelming, and he had interviewed quite a few people himself, so they had acted very responsibly toward it. Your second question was what?
Well, I wanted to find out if the basis of this had anything to do with Einstein's unified energy field theory.
Yeah, well, I have came up with a mechanical unified field theory, not trying to follow Einstein's work, just independently wanting to know how, what, and why of these things. but it does correlate the work that Einstein was trying to complete before his lifetime. But Einstein's work was criticized because it did not mechanically explain the property of inertia. Now, I not only mechanically explain the property of inertia, but of gravity, electricity, magnetism, inertia, quantum mechanics, and many other things in science by the same gyroscopic particle, as well as a new source of energy. No one in the history of the world that I have been able to read about has ever done so. And that in itself should make people in the scientific community pay attention to this.
Very interesting.
All right, does that help you, Lucklin?
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate the show, and Joe, I wish you the best of luck and the best of energy with it.
Okay, and if you would, please write to Senator and Congressman and just ask them to do what you just quoted a while ago. I would appreciate it.
You got it. I think everybody else should, too.
Appreciate your comments.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We got a good gang out there, Joe, tonight, don't you think?
I sure do. There's a lot of good people out there. You know, and that's why I had written the book, because I have a lot of faith in the people of this world. In fact, what I write in the book is that I have more faith in you than you have in yourself. And I sincerely believe that.
All right, Chuck, you're on.
Good evening, Bill. I appreciate your show. Got a suggestion for you. I'm in Orange County tonight, but ordinarily I live out in the Riverside area. I think you ought to get your engineers to tweak your antenna pattern a little bit at night. It gets kind of crummy.
Oh, they tweak it all they can.
Anyway, my question for Joe is, I'm a highly qualified technical person. I'm not an engineer, but I'm a nuts and bolts kind of a guy. Repair computers for a living. And my question to you is it possible for a qualified individual to build one of these? Does it use exotic materials or what? Or is information available from you so that... So I could build a prototype and see for myself if it works. To me, that's the real way to test it. You know, if I built one and it worked, believe me, I'd shout it from the housetops.
Yeah, well, most certainly. It's easy for anyone to build this device. And I have written that book with great care so that even a person with good reading comprehension in the eighth grade could build this device, but it's just a matter of wrapping wire. And anyone can do that.
Well, how does one obtain a copy of the book?
Send a money order to Joe Newman for $38.45. The address is Route 1, Box 52, Lucedale, L-U-C-E-D-A-L-E, Mississippi. The zip code 39452.
Okay, very good. Well, I've listened to you, you know, several times before, and it's got me interested enough that I'd like to pursue this, so I think I'll be contacting you.
Okay.
Bill, again, thank you. Enjoy your show.
Thank you, Chuck, very much for being aboard with us tonight. Let's see. We have Brett on the line.
Yeah, hi. I was interested listening to your show, and it was of interest to me because my attention has been drawn to a number of inventors in California who have also developed free energy mechanisms, and I know from them that their offices have been broken into and wrecked and papers stolen and their lives have been threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And there's apparently they feel that there's certainly connections to the utility companies who are doing this. And I was just curious whether your guest knew of other inventors in the United States who are working along similar lines and successfully.
We're working along similar lines and have done what?
Joe, our line is really
cracking
up. Can you just shout in that telephone over there in Mississippi?
Okay, I didn't catch that last part that he asked me.
Well, he was pointing out that he knows of other inventors that have been working in this field that seem to be having problems with break-ins and lives being threatened.
Yeah, I caught that, but the last part...
Do you know of any that are maybe going along in this same area that are having similar problems?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
I would like to recommend, too, that... I mean, I'm very concerned about what's been happening to him because it strikes me that the administration is attempting to take it away from him and quite likely, based on that administration, use it for military purposes or gain control of it. And like he says, I think his best friend's going to be the American public, and if he could get on to, it sounds like an excellent story for 20 minutes, I mean 60 minutes, it might bring national attention to the project and make it impossible for the powers that be to take it away from them and use it for their own reasons, which are very dissimilar, it seems to me, than those of his own.
Well, I don't know whether we want to jump to conclusions and accuse the Reagan administration of trying to steal Joe's idea for military purposes or not.
No, I don't claim that. All I believe, Bill, is to make sure this invention goes forward is that's why I've written a book. There's an old saying, the pen is more powerful than the sword, and I totally believe in that. I don't really openly accuse Reagan of anything. I'm just saying there's some facts there that need to be investigated, and some questions need to be asked, and they need to be answered by responsible people in a responsible way. Because I have over 30 scientists that have verified this, and the book itself shows that I have nothing to hide, Bill. But to the contrary, I put myself and my years of work open to total ridicule. And I challenge anyone to prove me wrong. Because when I know that they will be exposed, because already competent people, very high technical people, are building this invention and speaking out strongly about it.
Does that help you, Brett?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. It's a good question.
Thank you.
I'll be back with Joe Newman in just a moment. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. Standing by to talk to Joe Newman. And the line is fading, so we may not be able to finish out the whole hour with it. The engineers are beginning to look at us a little bit funny here. We do have the trip to London coming up, and we want all of you to go. We've made special arrangements for you. If you want to go with us through the KABC Travel Club, we'll be going to London together on the last week of October, leaving about the 23rd or 24th. We'll visit Stonehenge while we're there. We'll visit a lot of the haunted castles. We'll have a couple of banquets in the big banquet halls at a couple of the castles. We will be briefed by Lord Clancarney of the House of Lords about the ongoing investigation into the UFO by the British Parliament. We'll have a couple of other fascinating lectures on the ghost of London that are around there and the historical data about spirit manifestation. We'll have a great Halloween party, Halloween night, on board the Royal Vessel Barracuda, sailing up and down the Thames River right there in London on Halloween night, a dress-up affair, cocktail party, and then we'll come home. If you'd like to go with us, just send your name and address to me. Just mail it to Bill Jenkins, KABC, 3321 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, 90016, and just put London trip on it. We'll turn that over to Chucky Travel, who handles all of that. He'll send you the brochure. It's first come, first serve. I forgot how many we could take, but we want everybody to come along who possibly can. Next week, we'll have a shortened show because of Dodger baseball. They're real hot. But the week after, Kevin Ryerson and Shirley MacLaine will be here talking about Out on a Limb. Kevin Ryerson is a transmedium and psychic that works very closely with Shirley, and it should be an exciting night. But we're back to Joe Newman and Jason. You're on with us.
Hi. I was just wondering, the idea that this, it seems like because he's concerned about he didn't get a patent, and yet he's mailed this book out to everybody, so anybody can now build a machine, and if he doesn't have a patent, then I don't quite understand what the point is. If he's so concerned about a patent and Congress giving him a patent and all this, how can he be mailing the diagram for his machine out to everybody? I mean, and if he is concerned about a patent, then why doesn't he keep it secret? And if he isn't, why doesn't he just go ahead and build a machine? I mean, I don't quite understand what's going on.
Well, we've got him on the line here. Let's let him answer that for you.
Okay, it's very simple. The invention is the most important thing in my life, so I write the book so it'll go forward. But I don't take crap from nobody, not this government or anybody else. And I intend to fight this till hell freezes over. I'm not fighting just for myself, but for other people who cannot fight as I can fight. And the basis of this information going out, what I'm depending on is that the people who be behind me, the competent people, will build it, and they will speak out. And the patent office, the federal judge, is going to look more stupid and more stupid and more ridiculous until that the people will speak up. Then the Senate and the Congress, if it's necessary, will take action that the patent will be issued, and it'll be issued as a pioneering patent.
So the patent can only come then by this process, you're saying, then?
Yes. By the process, but taking it to the people, and the very fact that if competent companies start producing this, the patent office is going to look absolutely ridiculous when those salespeople are out selling it to the consumer, and they will be stating that the invention produces more energy output than put it into it. Now, the patent office is going to look awful stupid.
Oh, no, I don't understand it. Doesn't the patent mean that somebody owns a thing individually, they own all the rights to it?
Well, I think you're missing the point here. If it's gone ahead and produced anyway, even though it's produced without a patent, the fact that it's out there and working means that the patent office will have to issue a patent, and they will have to issue it to Joe Newman.
That's correct.
And so it'd be a retroactive patent in one sense of the word.
So then he's still trying to apply for a patent then at the patent office, is that?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I will fight that all with the Supreme Court, because I'm not just fighting for myself, and I wish to see the patent laws change.
And you said that Dan Rather came down and interviewed you and saw your machine?
Not Dan Rather. It was on the Dan Rather show, but it was Bruce Hall who was the correspondent.
And you said they had, I can't believe they saw the machine and did all this, and they wouldn't put it on 60 Minutes. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, this would be like their biggest show ever. I mean, if everything you're saying is true, I can't believe this wouldn't go on.
Well, I saw the show, Jason. Dan did introduce Bruce Hall, and they did do a report on it on the CBS Evening News as to wondering about the gyrations of CBS programming. I mean, we're talking about a strange kind of thing, aren't we? Or ABC programming or NBC programming for all that's worth.
Yeah, and the same thing that I've always said, the proof of pudding's in the eating. And that's why I'm publishing this book. If I have something that's not worth anything, it will very quickly be shown to be that. Now, already, the opposite is being shown by very competent people who are filling their device and contacting me to make arrangements to start production of this unit. Now, these are very competent people, successful. Now, these people wouldn't be doing that if they weren't very certain in their own mind that I have what I say I have.
It is their money that they're putting up.
That's correct.
Does that help you, Jason? Oh, he's off. That's where that noise was coming from, Jason's line. Okay. I hope that helped you, Jason, and that you're still with us now. Curtis, you're on.
Hello, Mr. Newman. I was reading in history, and I think it was in the 30s when the 20s when the German scientists first showed the American oil companies their ability to turn coal into a synthetic fuel, and some of the fuel they made was even exhaust proof, meaning it didn't have any toxic exhaust, and therefore they could synthetically make gasoline and all other types of lubricants. And if this technology was mass produced in America, it would have put the oil companies under. Therefore they joined with the Germans in a cartel in order to keep this technology out of America. And then even like in World War II, when this country was fighting the Nazis, the German producers of synthetic fuel were protected, and none of their plants were bombed, et cetera, because of the fact of the agreement between the oil companies and the Germans to keep this technology from spreading across the world. Now, it would seem to me that if your invention became mass-produced, it would have the same effect on the oil companies as the synthetic fuel would, meaning that the oil would not be needed for electricity, and this device probably could be used for automobiles, too. So don't you think that before this technology is mass-produced in America and around the world, the oil companies will at least try to put up as good a fight as they can to keep this technology out of the hands of the people?
I'm sure that possibility exists, but that's the purpose of the book, so that no power on this earth can stop this invention. And then my information is out. It will go forward. Some of the people who purchased this book have reordered as many as 10 copies that they're giving out to people. It's getting the exact response that I wanted. In fact, I know that my work is achieved, and I felt that when a big load had been lifted my shoulders when I had seen the results coming in from sending this book out. This intervention will go forward. No power on this earth, no dictator, no president, no body of office will stop it. And as a result of it, it will be more apt to bring peace across this earth, and all the kings and queens and politicians who have ever lived. There will be no more pollution. There'll be no more places like Ethiopia. We work hour a week, in 20 years it'll be 1 hour a week. Space travel in 20 years will be as commonplace as getting on a plane and travel from one city to the next. You're talking about something that is a must for humanity to exist and to be a peaceful and loving and caring place.
Curtis, there's one little comment I could make. You were pointing a finger toward the oil companies. I think you need to point the finger a little higher up the ladder to those who control the oil companies and everything else. The oil companies, like governments to them, are playthings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Curtis. Good comments. And we have Don on the line. Hello, Don.
Hi. How are you tonight?
All right.
Mr. Newman talked a few minutes ago about having talked to some Canadian engineers about this project or about his invention. I am a licensed, or I am a member of the Professional Engineers Association of Ontario. Ontario and Quebec, of course, now are helping Three Mile Island out and producing power, and they would just love to have something that would give them another 50%. Now, I wonder if this man has really had somebody assess the real value, I mean somebody responsible, to really tie it down and document it. So this is really probably the reason that he isn't getting it accepted at a patent office. Has he had somebody really assess the value of it?
Well, most definitely.
Okay, I would suggest, if you would take...
Wait a minute, Don, he was answering your question there.
All right, I'm sorry.
Okay, I've had better than 30 scientific-minded people come here. But, for example, you say you're a technical person. I doubt you have the qualifications of Dr. Roger Hastings, the senior physicist of the Sperry Univac. He's an expert in magnetics.
Could I make a suggestion, sir? The University of Toronto has one of the outstanding electrical engineers on the continent. I'll give you his name. He, as a student at University of Toronto in 1946, I'm getting kind of old, but this man did original research on high voltage direct current transmission. You might be interested to know that part of his work was contributed to a direct current high voltage line which serves Southern California from Washington. Now, this man is, I believe, tops in this field, and I'd like to give you his name. Would you be interested?
No, thank you. The reason that I'm not is that I've published the book, and those people who are competent people will contact me. I simply do not waste my time any longer contacting people that who are not curious, who don't use their mind, and who don't question. Now, I know that I'm right, and I wouldn't be putting this book out with 20 years of my life if I thought I was wrong. I am correct, and competent people who read that book will contact me, and that's already happening.
I would suggest there's no real reason that this man, Dr. Gordon Sleman, who's the Dean of Engineering at University of Toronto, may have ever seen your book, although he is associated with the Ontario Hydroelectric Power Commission. And these people, I think you might find that some Canadians are a little more broad-minded about bringing new things in the market and certainly don't have a lot of the political roadblocks put in front of them. But I think that to really sell your device or to get it out, you've got to have some more documented information on it, because from I've been listening to you all evening, and from what I have to respect you, sir, for your work and the 20 years of your life. But the point is, you can talk to everybody in the country and they can give you lots of assurance, but I would suggest that you have somebody who's top in his field. Look at it.
Dr. Hastings is one of the top physicists in his field in magnetics, and he has been solidly behind it from Spurry Univac. And, Don, I appreciate that suggestion of yours, but our time has run out, and it's all over. We're both done. And, Joe Newman, thank you very much for staying up late in the night there in Lucedale, Mississippi.
Okay,
best of
you.
Luck to you. We'll check back in with you and keep tabs on this very fascinating story.
Take care.
All right. Good night. We'll see you next week after the ball game, and then it'll be Kevin Ryerson and Shirley MacLaine the week after. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. Have a delightful weekend.
Happy Celebration 25!